Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's centre-left government will face a vote of no confidence in the lower house on Tuesday. 14 employees from the Czech government agency for social inclusion have handed in their notice. And experts have ruled out a technical error in the Hungarian Gripen crash southeast of Prague this week. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's centre-left government will face a no-confidence vote in the lower house on Tuesday. The demand for a no-confidence vote was tabled by the opposition in reaction to a vote on a bill which would secure continued state support for biofuels. Opposition Top 09 deputy leader Miroslav Kalousek told the lower house earlier this week that by supporting the bill, the centre-left government was serving the interests of Finance Minister Andrei Babiš's business empire Agrofert. Although the government has enough support in the lower house to survive the no-confidence motion, the opposition Civic Democrats said the government's malpractices were such that it was no longer possible to let them pass unnoticed. The opposition has 52 votes in support of the motion, but would need 101 to push it through. The leader of the Communist Party, Wojciech Filip, meanwhile has made it clear that the Communists would not support the vote of no confidence in the Sobotka government. Mr. Filip told reporters on Friday that his party welcomed some of the social measures affected by the Sobotka administration and said the Communist Party was not about to assist the return of a right-wing government. 14 employees from the Czech government agency for social inclusion, which is aimed at helping integrate Roma and other deprived groups into mainstream society, handed in their notices on Thursday. They're walking out after a disagreement with the Minister for Human Rights, Jiří Dienstbier, over the way the agency is run. According to the agency's Lucie Matsku, they are in particular angered by the recent dismissal of the agency's long-time head, Martin Šimáček. She said the employees don't want the agency to remain within the ministry's authority and have called for it to be established as an independent entity. The crash of a Hungarian Gripen fighter jet at the Chaslov Air Base southeast of Prague on Tuesday was not caused by technical error, Czech Defence Minister Martin Stropnický told reporters on Friday. The minister did not elaborate further, saying the investigation by Czech, Hungarian and Swedish experts had not yet been concluded. The plane crash-landed during an international military drill in the Czech Republic. Both pilots ejected and were unhurt. The plane was completely destroyed. The information that the crash was not caused by a technical error means that the Gripen fighter jets used by the Czech army will not have to be grounded. Attending an EU Eastern Partnership summit in Riga, Czech President Miloš Zeman said Russia should consider joining the EU's Eastern Partnership program. Mr. Zeman, who recently visited Moscow, noted that Russia had been invited to participate and had rejected the offer earlier on and may well be regretting its decision now. The Eastern Partnership project, launched at a summit in Prague in 2009, seeks to deepen relations between the EU and six former Soviet bloc states and help them on the road to democracy and economic prosperity. Russia has criticized the project as an attempt to damage its interests and undermine its relations with the said countries. A team headed by a Czech scientist is to study the influence of insects on forest vegetation. The CTK news agency reports the project headed by Vojtěch Novotný from the Czech Academy of Sciences has received a 92 million crown grant from the European Research Council. The team will work in Japan, Ghana, and Papua New Guinea, among other locations. The Czech Academy of Sciences has been operating a research center in Papua New Guinea for almost two decades. Two Czech nationals on trial for animal smuggling in Perth, Australia, have admitted their guilt. The two men told the judge they had attempted to smuggle around 150 reptiles, mostly lizards and snakes, out of the country. They were arrested along with two Russians when customs officers found reptiles hidden in their luggage, among them 33 dead snakes. The men face up to 10 years in prison and steep fines. Chinese investors from Hebei province want to build a huge wellness center not far from Brno in Moravia, the governor of the South Moravian region, Michal Hašek, told journalists on Friday. The investment would be worth 2 billion crowns and would create hundreds of new jobs. The deal should be finalized in September and the wellness center should be built by the end of 2018, the governor said. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend should be clear to partly cloudy with scattered showers and day temperatures at around 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Danielle Azarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, a group of public figures is protesting Plzeň's Days of Jerusalem festival. We'll have the details. We'll also have the latest in the world of Czech business. And a little later in the program, we'll be talking to Prague Fringe founder Steve Gove. So stay tuned for that. A group of international public figures, including U.S. linguist Noam Chomsky and British film director Ken Loach, are publicly protesting against the Days of Jerusalem festival, which is to be held within the Plzeň 2015 European City of Culture. They claim it is being used to help legitimize Israel's political strategy. Ruth Frankova has more.
The Days of Jerusalem in Prague festival was established 3 years ago under the auspices of the Prague and Jerusalem municipalities, and the festival's first two editions passed without any major controversy. But plans to hold the festival in Pilsen this year within the framework of European City of Culture events has sparked a wave of criticism. At the end of April, a group of Czech activists, politicians and supporters of Palestine, including former Foreign Minister Jan Kavan and former dissident Petr Uhl, wrote an open letter to the organizers calling on them to cancel the event. When they didn't succeed, they decided to step up the pressure. On Thursday, they published an open letter addressed to the European Commission, Parliament and Council, suggesting that the European Capital of Culture is helping legitimize the illegal annexation of Jerusalem. Among the signatories are a number of respected cultural figures, such as Pulitzer Prize winner Alice Walker, musician Roger Walters and history professor Shlomo Sand. One of the organizers of the protest, Wojciech Srnka, outlined the main arguments.
The main reason for us is that Jerusalem was pronounced the international city by the international community, by the General Assembly of United Nations. And since then, Jerusalem as a city has been annexed in 1980 by Israel. And the international community, namely the United Nations Security Council, never recognized this annexation. However, the Israeli government since then insists that Jerusalem is their capital city. This festival, the Days of Jerusalem, is without any doubt introducing the city of Jerusalem as Israeli. We don't agree with this introduction because it's contrary to international law and it's contrary to the opinion of the European Union. When we take into account that the event is partly financed by the European Union, it constitutes a big problem.
The head of Pilsen European City of Culture, Jiří Suchánek, admits that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a sensitive issue. However, he adds that Pilsen 2015 is not the organizer and emphasizes that the festival is a strictly a political event.
First of all, I want to stress that we cannot combine politics and culture. We strictly divide these two things, and Days of Jerusalem are a multi-general cultural festival focusing on different kinds of audience and includes dance, music, visual arts, film and gastronomy, and there is no way how it shall be combined with politics. We are aware of sensitivity of this thing, and moreover, we support to cooperate both Jewish and Arab artists at this festival. So this is our feeling about the whole festival.
But according to Wojciech Srnka, the Czech media, including Czech radio and Czech television, describe the festival as an introduction of Israeli culture. He also points out that the participation of Palestinian artists is not sufficient.
I think last year the attendance of Arab artists was like 4%. However, the Arab or Palestinian, let's talk about them as Palestinians constitute some 33% of the population of Jerusalem, and the participation of Arab artists is never so high. And when we take into account that Israel Embassy in Czech Republic is paying for this event, it's clear that this is, they are saying that Israel is their capital city. They will never want to the Israel to be described as both Palestinian and Israeli.
Meanwhile, the organizers of Days of Jerusalem in Prague and Pilsen insist that despite the controversies, they are ready to go ahead with the event, which is set to take place in Pilsen on the 19th and 20th of June and in Prague on the 22nd and 23rd of June.
Ruth Frankova with that story. And now for the very latest in business, I'm joined in the studio by Chris Johnston.
Czech National Bank is putting pressure on domestic banks to curb long-term mortgage loans to clients. According to the Business Daily Hospodářské noviny, the central bank is attempting to convince banks that loans of more than 30 years should only be made in exceptional circumstances. It's also seeking to clamp down on so-called 100% loans, where borrowers have no savings to put on the table. The National Bank says loans of over 30 years are high risk because borrowers are unlikely to be able to generate extra cash to repay for so long over their lifetime.
The Czech steel industry showed signs of revival in 2014. The quantities of iron produced last year rose by 2.8% and steel production was up 3.6%. The sector is being helped by the pickup in the local construction, civil engineering and car manufacturing sectors. But in spite of expectations of continued buoyant demand, production is seen slipping slightly in the next years before picking up again in 2020.
Czech Post says it expects a slender profit of 50 million crowns this year. That is around a fifth of the 241 profit declared for 2014. The public service mail operator says it's losing letter and parcel income to the tune of around 700 million crowns a year. And one of the biggest employers in the country has also been hit by a 3.5% pay rise. Director Martin Elkan says that investments are being savagely curbed as a result.
Power giant ČEZ says it will hold on to the massive Počerady coal-fired plant for now. A sale to the mining company Vršanská uhelná for at least 8.1 billion crowns was possible under a deal agreement between the companies in 2013. Another sale option becomes operable in 2019 and can be exercised by 2024. Počerady is one of the biggest coal-fired power plants in the country with a capacity of 1,000 megawatts.
The Transport Ministry is planning on introducing or updating traffic signs as of next January, which could also include signs warning of frogs or deer crossings. Others could designate rollerblade users and segways or areas where trucks will be banned for overtaking other vehicles. The ministry also wants to clarify some signs for motorists, such as traffic signs designating horses but featuring a pictogram of a cow. The ministry said it will take up to 10 years to introduce some of the changes. The price tag is still being waited for.
Okay, and my thanks there to Chris Johnston with the business news and reflecting on that final story with the cow-horse sign in the words of the great Bart Simpson, "Don't have a cow, man." Okay, today marks the beginning of the Prague Fringe. I'm going to let that sink in for just a moment. The Prague Fringe, of course, is an amazing festival you have to go to. I began by asking Steve what it was that set the Prague Fringe apart.
Fringes the world over are definitely different to other festivals that take place in cities across the world, and the Prague Fringe is no different in that sense. It's we like to think of ourselves as an experience, something that you jump into and that you sort of absorb every sort of angle. So, you know, the idea of the Fringe Festival is not to come and see a show and then go home and say, wasn't that nice? It's to go and see two or three shows, chat about the shows on the way, listen to other people, get their advice on which shows are the best shows, and then to hopefully gather in the bar at the end of the night and then dissect the experiences that you've gone through. And they are varied experiences at the Fringe. You can cry one minute, laugh the next, go on a mini holiday to some exotic country. Very often also describe it as being a bit like the theatrical version of the Karlovy Vary Film Festival. So it's not going to the theatre and leaving. It's taking the fringe in as a whole and jumping in at the deep end.
Anybody who goes home early then is basically selling themselves short from what you're saying. The website describes it as Edinburgh's naughty grandchild. Is that just a catchy phrase? I like it. But is it just a catchy phrase or is it in fact naughtier?
I think in a way, you know, I experienced Edinburgh Festival Fringe for a number of years before thinking up the idea of doing Prague Fringe. And, you know, it was never part of the plan to, you know, in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, to make Prague as big as Edinburgh Fringe. It was kind of, I think the naughtiness partly was that I kind of stole the concept and planted it in Malastrana. So it's kind of like a slice of the action. And yes, it can be naughty, but I mean, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is pretty naughty too in certain aspects. You know, it's an open access festival, so anything happens or anything goes. As long as it's not against the law, basically you can present your work and express your opinions or, you know, I use this example a lot, but, you know, if you want to take your dog with you to Edinburgh and do a show about your dog in a telephone box, that's not a problem, but you just have to sort of organise it. So it's the kind of philosophy, it's an open access arts event. Anybody can apply to Prague, and then we take a selection, a slice of that, and present it in May every year.
It occurs to me, the Prague Fringe is in its 14th year. When you founded it, were there other fringes in other cities already, or was it just Edinburgh at that time?
Yeah, definitely by that time there were quite a number. Brighton Fringe in the south of England is huge. The Australian Fringe network's pretty huge as well. Adelaide Fringe is an old one. Melbourne Fringe too. Perth's quite a new one, except, you know, it's growing super quickly. Canada's got a ton, and the US. So we were by no means the third or second. But I think apart from the Avignon Off, which is a very similar sort of concept to Fringe, it was pretty much the first one in this part of Europe. And although now they're sort of jumping out all over the place. Stockholm has its own Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. Amsterdam's been up and running for 7 or 8 years now. So, yeah, there's a real... It seems to be that fringes are in, and cities like fringes because they bring people to the city. And they don't just bring people to the city to see beautiful bridges and churches and then they never come again. They bring people back to the city on multiple occasions. We have visitors that have been visiting us for almost every of the 14 years that we've existed. So they're big money spinners as well. So there's definitely an in thing about fringes these days.
You already talked about the incredible freedom that an artist can have if they get their act together. No pun intended there. Does that mean that the festival takes its chances on newcomers, or are there also a lot of established artists? Because obviously there are names that one recognises. And
absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of upcoming groups will create work, especially for Fringe. I mean, 5 or 6 years ago, we had some students from the Rose Bruford College in England who happened to be doing a little stint in Prague. And we managed to catch them before they went home, and they were festival assistants selling tickets on the doors for us. And then they were like, oh my God, we're going to come back next year with a new show. And some of them have come back for multiple years with different shows. So it is a breeding ground for new work. But it is also a place where you'll see work that has toured the world, or it's maybe part of a little tour at the moment around Europe. So yeah, a mixture of both, really.
What is one of the biggest chances that you've taken performance-wise?
Actually, one of my colleagues from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe board, I was on the board of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe for a number of years, a wonderful actor called Pip Utton brought his show to Prague. I think it was just called Hitler. I'm not remembering the name for some reason. But, you know, for obvious reasons, it was a very sort of culturally sensitive thing to do. But the thing was that the play actually was fantastically written, and when you actually saw the play, you kind of got what it was about. It kind of deconstructed Hitler, and then at the end, the actor was a regular person who was spouting horrific racist comments, and you felt incredibly uncomfortable in the space listening to this. But I think it was kind of like pointing at the fact just as how simple it is for certain people to get into that kind of mindset and to sort of convince others that that is the right way. It was really deeply moving and disturbing, and it was a risk taker. In the end, it was generally really well received, but it was a tough one. That was a difficult one.
Putting together the programme, which is months and months ahead, once acts have confirmed, is putting together the actual schedule one of the fun things to do? Because you have to balance the different kinds of acts, performances, the mood.
Absolutely. My colleagues live all over the world, and Carol Weirs, who's one of the co-founders and associate director of the Fringe, she comes back to Prague in October, and we sit with a pile of tens and tens, couple of hundred applications, and we delve into that. And it's really exciting because in front of you is a potential to create a multitude of versions of the festival. And yes, you know, we like to try and vary it so that there's a little bit of comedy, a little bit of music, some theatre, enough non-verbal stuff so that it's not completely closed doors for non-English speakers. It's a tremendously exciting part of the year, and it's at that point that we think we're doing this again. It's going to happen again in a year's time.
Mm-hmm. You've said that it's important for people to come the first day. Why is that?
Well, you know, I've heard it said so often, you know, by people who are maybe finally they'll get down on the Thursday or the Friday just as it's kind of coming to its end and going, oh, I wish I'd come earlier. So, you know, I say to people now, make sure you come in the first day or two because it is highly addictive. You know, the experience of seeing a number of international performances, you know, that you'll never get the chance to see again in such a short time, and the buzz. And it sounds really cliched, and I kind of don't like saying it, but there's a family atmosphere about Fringe. All of the acts have raised the money to come to Fringe themselves. They've accommodated themselves. They've flown themselves in. We have volunteers who are our festival assistants on the doors of all of the theatres. They've flown themselves from all over Europe and some parts of the world. We accommodate them, you know, as a thanks for that. And they work at the Fringe for 9 days. And so it's just, you know, everyone's in it because they want to be part of it. It's not a big, rich, you know, mega-funded festival that we just pay for everything and everyone's just happy to be there. It creates a different atmosphere when it's...
It feels real.
It feels real. It feels very real. And because of that, the spirit of it is fantastic.
Let's talk about some of this year's performances. I know it's hard to single out just a few. It's a little bit unfair, but for time reasons, we can only mention several. So which ones should we see?
Well, we're talking about slightly controversial things earlier, and Pablo Neruda, of course, was an incredibly controversial poet, and a theatre company from Canada is actually presenting his works this year, and... it's called Neruda Nude because the poems are all performed in the nude by the cast. So that's one to look out for. We've got a fantastic theatre company from Washington coming with a Kafka's Metamorphosis. They did a couple of Havel's plays last year, which went down very, very well. So we're really excited to see these guys back again. John Arthur Sweet's been a few times to Prague Fringe, and... he's a beautiful, beautiful writer, and he's a beautiful performer. It's a one-man show, and he portrays all the characters in his stories absolutely beautifully. And this is a new piece that he's recently put together, and it's called Who Waits at the Top of the Stairs, and everyone's looking forward to that. And it's played in a very intimate space called Kavarna 3 plus 1. There's only space for 20 people, and mostly this venue gets sold out really quickly. And I'm imagining that this will be the case for John Arthur Sweet too.
And of course, the Prague Fringe begins tonight, this Friday. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, basically now's the time to do it. Steve Gove, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and that was Steve Gove once again. There, the Prague Fringe begins this Friday, and you'd be well advised to take his advice, which is come early, come soon, get your tickets now. An amazing festival to visit. We're just about out of time, but if you'd like, I'll give you a quick reminder. You can look up more stories, news, and features at our website. Radio.cz is the address to visit. Also, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard today, or if you have any well wishes there for Steve, then the address to write to is english@radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and for all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.